This week's Toyota Way has been sponsored by Family Scheinfeld on the first yacht site of Rav Tzvi Scheinfeld, Lilo Nishmas, Sholem Tzvi, Ben Rav Shlomo Eliezer. Vov Elo, Friday the 6th of September, Rabbi Gedalia Lieberman, Ori Miklot, Lo Sid Loboy.
Just before I start, first of all, good to be back. Good morning, everybody.
Say a
word I saw on the parasha. I don't remember its details, but the pasuk says, "Kiseitzel mechama levecho." When you go out to war, and certain people have to return, they don't go to war. Mi'ish shabana bayis. If you built a new house in a chenochoy, or not to carry him if somebody planted a vineyard, or iris isha, and any of these people, to a woman, any of these people have to go back, right? And the Gemara learns from the order of the Psukim that one should first be going to bias, first build a house, and only afterwards take kerem, and only afterwards Eretz Isha. And the Rambam in Hilchos Deis says it in very strong language that the correct order is first have a house, and then a kerem, and then only afterwards get married. And he says that's the way people with Das do it. It shouldn't be done the other way around. I saw on Savart, and I don't remember its details, but I thought it was appropriate to say nevertheless, that Bona Bayis, for some reason, refers to Tfilah, and Natias Kerem refers to Torah, okay? Kerem or Yayin often refers to Torah, and Eris Isha refers to our involvement in your name of this world. And it's also telling us the order. When the Gemara says this is the order, it's also the daily order. You have to start with Tfilah, and move on to learning some Torah, and then only afterwards involve oneself in the world that we live in. So I just thought it's appropriate to point it out because it's about starting the day of the Torah away. It's really also Aloha Shulchan Aruch, it's Mekufron Hei, from the Gemara in the Brochus, that those that go to Beis HaKnesses to Beis HaMedrash, Zoichon Kam Pnei Shechina. The Gemara says tremendous things about going straight from Beis HaKnesses to Beis HaMedrash. In Shulchan Aruch it also adds that one has to be careful in particular about this Kvias. Even if one feels he's going to make a lot of money in that time, still one has to be particular. It seems the pshat in that halacha is, the Gemara speaks about going basic Knesset and basic Medrash, learning right after davening. And the question is, seemingly every free time, whenever you have free time, you're supposed to learn. What's different after davening than the rest of the day? Whenever you have free time, you have to learn. So it seems that over there you have to fix a time, and it should be very strongly fixed, and it shouldn't be uprooted for anything, so I thought it's appropriate to mention to people that start their day the Torah away. The title of the shiur was... We have a pasuk in this week's parasha, the Pirkei Yutes. The pasuk can begin, Yachris Hashem Lekecho. Kitzu when Hashem, so you have to set out, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, you have to set out Ori Miklot, three Ori Miklot in Eretz Yisrael. That's an additional three, the three Mevar Yardin, three on the other side of the Yardin that Moshe set aside, three in Eretz Yisrael, Yeshua set aside. And then the pasuk can continue, the pasuk can go on to say what the Ori Miklot are for. We all know, cities of refuge, if somebody kills, Bishkoga, if somebody murders by mistake, by accident, he has to run to the Ori Miklot. The pasuk can say the details of what kind of accident, etc. The pasuk then continues, V'myarcha Hashem Elkech Haskulcho. If Hashem broadens your boundaries, Hashem makes Eretz Yisrael bigger. Referring to, Rashi says, Eretz Keni Knizim Kamoini. In other words, Hashem promised Avraham Avinu the land of 10 nations. And so far we only got the land of 7 nations. When Hashem broadens our gulus to give us the entire Eretz Yisrael, so you have to add another three cities, and as Rashi points out, that makes 9 altogether. 3 Aviyadin, 3 in Eretz Yisrael, 3 La'osid Lovay. 9 are in Midrash altogether, yeah. Where in these Eretz Keni Knezik Admoini, which are going to be extended to Eretz Yisrael? So 9 are in Midrash altogether. If you mention the Adim and Shittas and the Medrash, they say differently, but the Rambam and the Rashi both say that it's 9 Ori Miklot altogether. I'll just point out an interesting point that the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim in the 11th Perek says that somebody called me she'ino mamin biyoso, anyone who doesn't believe in the coming of Mashiach, or ain't mechakel biyoso, he doesn't await the coming of Mashiach. Loi b'shar neviim b'vado koyfer. He's not just denying what it says in the neviim, which he says at the end is meleim midover zeh, is obviously filled with the prophecies about Mashiach. Ela b'toyer of Moshe Rabbeinu. He's also denying what is through explicit in the Chumash Torah. And the Rambam goes on to bring three places in the Torah which Mashiach is mentioned or merumus. And then he brings the Nebuas of Bilom, prophecies of Bilom, and then he says, also by Ariklat it says, when Hashem extends Eretz Yisrael, and you add three cities, it hasn't happened yet, Hashem didn't command anything for nothing. So Mela, if we have this command, it's evident from the Torah that there will be the time when Mashiach comes, and from there the Rambam, that's the third proof that the Rambam gives, that it's explicit in the Torah, the coming of Mashiach. So that's the mitzvah in this week's parasha. However, I have a question on the mitzvah, which possibly people are thinking as well. Why will we need Ari Miklat when Mashiach comes? It seems from many sources, even from the Psukim, there won't be Moves, there won't be death, there won't be fights, there won't be war, there won't be any killing of B'shoigig B'pashtos. So why will we need Ari Miklat L'Asilovei? And I think we can divide the question perhaps into four reasons, four details, why there won't be Ari Miklat L'Asilovei.
Accidents can't happen?
Oh, so I'll discuss it, but let me first explain the question. Okay, we'll get there, I'll point out in a moment, some of Farshim say exactly as you say, that accidents can happen. Yeah. But that's the question, can accidents happen? Osilove, will there be Ritzicha B'Shoigig? Will people by accident kill people? Osilove. Seemingly, Bashkof Rishoina, based on a number of sources, it seems that Osilove, there shouldn't be even killing a B'Shoigig. And I think for four reasons. Number one is, obviously nothing happens to nothing. If somebody murdered somebody B'Shoigig, it means the person who was killed in Yiritzach obviously deserved it. As we all know, Moshe like the Mershoimi Tiresha, Moshe like the Moini, the two people going up the ladder, I think everybody knows the Moshe. The point is, if somebody was killed by Shoigeg, it's obvious that that's the way Hashem orchestrated it. He deserved to be killed. We'll all be tzaddikim, we'll all do the right thing, and nobody will deserve to be killed. So Mela, there won't be an accident. An accident doesn't happen just because we're people and not angels. Rather, Hashem orchestrates them. So that's one reason there won't be Hariga by Shoigeg. Similarly, we all know that a shoygig also tzorach kapara. Rashi says kol a shoygig tzorach kapara, and a very shoygig also needs some sort of atonement. It's also called some sort of sin, and the reason is because even doing a very shoygig shows that we haven't totally eradicated any bad, all the bad within us. Ultimately, certain things we don't by accident. Once heard this mashal, don't know if it's correct or incorrect, but we don't by accident put a hand into a fire. If we saw what was the way it's going to be lasilov, where it'll be evident and blatant what's good and what's bad, we won't by accident lechoyra do averus, and a very b'shoigig also lechoyra isn't something that belongs to lasilov. Similarly, there are sources of the Pasuk says of Bilam Avos and Netzach. There seems to be there won't be any death at all, Asilavai. So for that reason, there can't be Hariga B'Shoigeg. And fourthly, the Torah says clearly the reason we need an Ari Miklat is no blood should be spilled. The Goyel Adam, the relative of the person that was murdered, may want to take revenge and kill you. L'chori, that certainly isn't relevant, Asilavai. Nobody's going to want to take revenge for somebody who had an accident, even if we say that you could have Ratzicha, but Shoigeg, seemingly there shouldn't be any Goyel Adam, and for that reason you only need Ari Miklat. So I have this question, why would we need Ari Miklat Asilavai? And fortunately, the question was asked before me, there's a number of classic Makoris that asked the question. There is a sefer called Zayis Ranon on the Pirush on the Yalkut Shemoini, written by the Mogen of Rome, the famous Mogen of Rome, Shulchan Aruch. He has a Pirush on Yalkut Shemoini, and he asks this question, and he gives two answers, and I don't remember what he says. It's a short piece, but at the end, I do remember the end. He says, "And have a look at time emitters of the Arizal and the Torah of the Arizal, two Sforma of the Arizal, where he already discussed this question." So the Maskele David on Rashi, which is Sefer in Pshat, he also asks this question. He gives an interesting answer. He says that. He gives an interesting answer. He says that La'asid Lovoi There'll be lots of Gerim, all the Goyim will want to join us, and we will accept Gerim, although we know Abraham Gerim not a lot of it. I don't know exactly what he means, maybe it means slightly before, in the beginning, but he does something like this, that all the Muslim will join the Yidden, they will still be ruled by the rules of nature, they will still, and by then there will still be Ritzich B'Shoigeg, and they will still need the Ori Miklot. But the Yidden, the proper Yidden, this is what he says, the answer he gives, they won't need Ori Miklot, an interesting answer. And at the end he says, and after I wrote this, I saw that Morana Laki Arizal already addressed this question, so he also quotes Arizal. Similarly, the Shalah also discusses this question in Sefer Beis Dovid, he discusses it at length. And he has a whole Arichus to explain that although when Mashiach comes, there's many sources to say that there won't be any more bad, there won't be any more Averus, and there won't be any more death, etc., etc. And he explains it at tremendous length, exactly how it's going to be when Mashiach comes. However, he says, we also know that the Rambam says, from Shmuel, the Gemara says, the Rabbi Yochanan says, Kol HaNaviim, the Gemara in Brochus, and in Shabbos, and in Psochim, and in Sanhedrin, it's in a number of places. Kol HaNaviim lo nesnabu elo livois ha-Moshiach. All the Nevuos, all the prophecies of the Naviim are livois ha-Moshiach. Aval, Olam Haba ayin l'ros olikim zol ha-Secho. Olam Haba is greater than all those prophecies. That's what the Rabbi Yochanan says. Or Pligi the Shmuel, and that's arguing with Shmuel's statement. Because Shmuel said, Ein bin olam hazin livois ha-Moshiach, elo shibut ma'achus bovat. Shmuel says that Moshiach, the world will continue as normal. Teva will remain. The Rambam in Hilchas Melochim quotes this statement of Shmuel and says Paskin like this. He says, Al-Yal Ladaz, don't think when Moshiach comes there's going to be Oysus, Moshiach, there's going to be miracles. Rather, Olam Kamin Hagoy Noyek. The world will continue to be as normal. Aye, what are you going to do with all of the prophecies? Let's say, of course, Ibn Keves, a lamb will live with a wolf, etc., etc. It's all a mashal. It's all mashalim to say that the Yidden will live peacefully with the Mosaylam and will be busy learning Torah, etc., etc. It'll be wonderful, but it won't be miraculous. That's what the Rambam says, and the Kesef Mishnah says that's following the opinion of Shmuel. So the Shalal says, on the one hand, we have these sources that lasid lavoi things will remain the same. On the other hand, there's many sources that say otherwise, and one could say it's a machloikas, but the Shalal says I don't think it's a machloikas. Rather, I think there's going to be two periods of Lavoi, and he explains it at length. There's an earlier period where things will, right away, things will still be natural, we'll be busy learning Torah, we won't be under, we'll be able to do, we'll be in our land, doing as we wish, etc. There'll be an earlier period, and later, at a later stage, at a later stage, all in Yemos HaMashiach, because the Rambam learns Olam Haba is the Shomos without Gufim, but at a later stage, in Yemos HaMashiach, it'll become miraculous, etc., etc. So the question of how we're going to deal, what the three Ori Miklot for, the answer is the three Ori Miklot for the first period. That's what the Shalah answers. I'll point out that I believe I've seen the same idea in the Sefer Yeshua's Mashiachoy of the Barbanel. Barbanel has a Sefer about Mashiach called Yeshua's Mashiachoy, and he writes the same idea that there'll be two Tkufas when Mashiach comes. Even the Rambam that says also means the first stage of Mashiach, and that's what's relevant to us halacha. But there will be a second stage where things will be miraculous. That's what the Shalah answers. And I thought to myself that the Shalah, I'll just point out, is also answering another question. The answer to the Shalah also deals perhaps with another question. The Minchas Chinuch on this week's parasha also touches on this, what we're going to need the Ori Miklot Asa Lavoi. But that's not really where he starts. He starts with another question. He says it this: why only three Ori Miklot Asa Lavoi? We all know Chazal say, "I see the Eretz Yisrael shall dispatch it b'chol ha'arotzos." Eretz Yisrael is going to spread to the entire world. The whole world is going to be Eretz Yisrael. Seemingly, the reason the Torah tells us to add Ori Miklot is because Eretz Yisrael is a bit bigger. It's bigger. You need more cities of refuge. You need more Ori Miklot. That is the chayra, the reason why you need more. So the Minchas Chinuch asks, well, if Eretz Yisrael is going to spread to the entire world, so then we should need more Ori Miklot. What are we going to do here in London if it's Eretz Yisrael? And I'll point out that the Minchas Chinuch is interesting. I always imagined when I heard this chazal as a child, I see the Eretz Yisrael, but this is also some sort of miraculous sort of nevuah. Eretz Yisrael is going to spread, I don't know exactly what it means. That's what I understood it. The Minchas Chinuch says that, he just says it by the way, that see the Eretz Yisrael means that we all know the din is, or perhaps we know the din is, the Rambam writes in two places, that Melech, after the king, after he's captured the entire Eretz Yisrael, the Melech Yisrael, after he's finished capturing the entire Eretz Yisrael, if he continues capturing land, it has the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. It gets the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. So there's no question that when Mashiach is here, and he's the Melech, and he's able to do nothing stopping him, there's no reason he won't capture the entire world. He won't own the whole world. So automatically the whole world will have the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. So when Mashiach is here, Eretz Yisrael should dispatch upon our rotzos. It's not some sort of miraculous statement. Rather, it's simply that the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is going to spread. So, So the Meida asks, why don't we need more Arimichlot if the Eretz Yisrael is going to spread over the whole world? What the Minchas Chinuch answers, and also answers our first question, is he says, you know what? Why do we need Arimichlot Lasi Lavoi? He's bothered by the same thing. What's it going to be for? He says, it's unnecessary. He says, no, there won't be any death, there won't be any killing of the Shoigay. Because there is a Kosov. The Torah says so. The reason we don't know, or the reason it's not with the reason, it's just that's what the Torah has decided, that's what Hashem decided, we should have Arimichlot Lasi Lavoi. It won't be in order to save the Ritzeah from the Goel Adam. So if it's there, it's a cost. There's a question why you don't need more. We don't need any. The Torah says to put an extra three, so we'll put an extra three. But we don't need. That's how he answers the question. It's not such a smooth answer. Specifically taking into account that the Torah, after saying Yisafkol Orim, it finishes off the parasha. This week's parasha, that no blood will be spilled. In other words, Orim Miklot. The Torah seems to clearly say that the reason is there, even for the extra three Orim Miklot loss of loving. But I thought to myself that the Shalos answers the Minchas Chinuch's question. Why don't we have more? Since the Shalos says it's only for the earlier Tkufa, it's only right away when Mashiach comes, we'll need the Orim Miklot. But at a later stage, you won't need them. So perhaps Eretz Yisrael will spread to the entire world. But we don't know when that will happen. After the Melech HaMashiach will conquer the three lands of Kenei Knezik HaBoy, you'll have to add Orim Miklot. And only after that will Eretz Yisrael spread to the entire world. At which point, perhaps, we won't need the Orim Miklot anymore. So perhaps that could answer the question of the Minchas Chinuch as well. So what I've said so far, alright, so the Shalom, when he finishes his piece, he also says, after I wrote this, I saw that the Rizal in Time of Mitzvahs already addresses this question. So I've noticed that all of the G'doyli HaChronim that quote this, that discuss this Inyan, both the Mogen Avraham and Zayis Ra'anon, the Masechet Dovid, the Pshat, and the Shalom, all send you to the Rizal, so I decided to have a look what the Rizal said. So the Rizal writes something maybe a little bit Kabbalistic, but I will just repeat some of the words that he says. He says that when Hevel killed Cain, when Cain killed Hevel, he sounds like a joke, but he does say that after Hevel killed Cain, not literally, but with Gilgulim or whatever it is. When Cain killed Hevel, obviously it didn't happen stam, everything was with a purpose, etc., etc., and it's because Hevel had to have a tikkun, and the tikkun had to come through Misa. And when Moshe, he goes on to explain, I mean, I don't remember it, I read it yesterday, I don't remember exactly all the details, because I read it briefly, but something, this is the general gist of things. When Moshe killed the Mitzri, it's because Moshe was somehow nitzot of Hevel, and the Mitzri was of Cain, and Moshe thought that he had to take revenge for Cain's killing of Hevel, that's why he killed the Mitzri. And really that was a chait, because, on the contrary, Cain's killing Hevel was supposed to happen exactly as it happened, it says. And the truth is that kind of killing Hevel has to play out in all of his descendants. And there has to be this tikkun for all of the descendants. And if, now we know, he says, that when Mashiach comes, and that's why most ritzichas, that's what he says, most murders happen to the descendants of Hevel. I think that's what he says. Descendants of Hevel, they get to Dafka, that's where all ritzicha is. He says, we know Mashiach, the Pasuk says, B'itoyach Hashem, Mashiach will come, in its time I'll hurry it up. And the Gemara Sanhedrin asks, is it B'itoy, is it in its time, or is it Hashem, will Hashem hurry it up? And he says, Zochu, if we're Zoycha, then it'll be B'itoy. I'm sorry, it'll be Hashem, Hashem will hurry it up. If lo Zochu, if we're not Zoycha, then it'll have to wait for its time. So he says, if Mashiach comes in the correct time, so then all the descendants of Hevel will already be fixed, we metukan, and then the world will be able to be Sholeim, complete, when Mashiach comes. However, if Mashiach comes quickly, early, And then, not all of the descendants of Hevel, suddenly deserving of Mashiach coming, not all the descendants of Hevel have been metukum through this Ritzicha. So then it's going to have to happen after Mashiach comes. And it's going to have to happen very quickly. Because we want to get things done. We want the Shleimus Biru, we want things to be complete in order that we can reach the final times of Mashiach. So after the Meitzah Mashiach, after Mashiach comes, there will still be Ritzicha. Of course, he says it won't be Bemezid, it'll all be B'shoigig, and that's why the Pasuk says, Reshofet Amnoki B'Gebecho means it won't be Bemezid, it'll only be B'shoigig. However, there will be Ritzicha after Mashiach comes, B'shoigig, in the Meitzah Mashiach. That's what that result says, so I don't know if it means. That's what he seems to say. He says, "Yir baroitzchim." It'll be a very lot, and very quick. Yeah, I did see in a certain sefer that he writes it doesn't mean kibshut. It doesn't mean literally. Rather, it means apiruchnis, which is possible because Arizal, lots of the things he's writing don't necessarily mean simply a posse in Torah. There's a Rashba that writes. Some people understand the stories of the Torah that it's mshalim. It's not literally. It's they didn't happen as they say. And the Rashba writes very strongly against that in the Tshuva. Of course, the stories of Torah are kibshutoy. The Arizal, it's difficult to perhaps, I mean, certainly for me, for us to know whether it means kibshutoy or it's something, some sort of Kabbalistic inyan that will happen Kabbalistically, whatever that means. So I don't know the exact pshat, but that's what the Arizal writes. And then we have another answer. To sum up, so far, I quoted to you the Minchas Chinuch, who says, or Mikhail also Lavoy, Xavier Sakasov, that's what Hashem wants. We have the Shalom, who says that when Mashiach comes, there'll be an earlier tkufa, an earlier period when Mashiach comes, and then there will be. And then we will still only go in Miklot, there will still be Mitzich HaShoyeg. All the promises that we know that Mashiach is going to come, it's going to be, all the bad will, it's Ruach Tumah Av Ben Aretz, there won't be any negative in this world, it'll be a perfect place, certainly without any death. That's all at a later stage after Mashiach comes. That's what the Shalom writes. And then we have that Rizal, who writes that for some sort of Kabbalistic reason, there will have to continue to be Mitzich HaShoyeg after Mashiach comes. I want to share with you a fourth pshat from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, which is very much a derech pshat, a simple pshat, based on a Gemara in Shabbos. And I'll quote the Gemara just because it's a beautiful Gemara. It's an interesting Gemara. The Gemara writes, the Gemara is discussing that we all know to Mishnah you're not allowed to koyel l'ereneir. If there's a candle, you're not allowed to read. You're not allowed to read on Shabbos. L'ereneir, choshu shemiyata, you might tip the candle. So Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha says, ani ekra v'loyata. I'm not worried for this. I can read, and I'll be careful. What's the? They said you're going to tip the candle on Shabbos. On Shabbos, you want to tip the candle. Would we say a shogeg also is comes from a certain part? There's nothing to worry for. So then we have two gersoys in the Gemara. One is he read and he almost tipped the candle, and then he said, "Kama gdoli derechomim." How great the chomim! They realized. They understood the nature of things. And then we have another recording of the story that Korah hit, that Rav Shmuel ben Elisha actually tipped the candle. He actually tilted the candle and he on Shabbos. And Kosov, Bibin Kosoi, he wrote in his booklet that when Mashiach comes, of the Chatos Shmeino, I will bring a fat Korban Chatos. So I'll bring a fat Korban Chatos. So Mela, what does it mean? That Rav Shmuel ben Elisha seemed to hold. And this, that if you do an Aveira nowadays, true, we know we can't bring carbon, and therefore tshuva, that's Rambam writes, we claim carbon. When we do full tshuva, we totally, it totally makes up for Aveira. Nevertheless, when opportunity comes, when Mashiach comes, we will then have to bring a carbon chatos. That's what it seems to be from Shlomo and Elisha. There's a discussion in the Svarim whether he held like that, or it's some sort of Midas Chassidus or something, whether this is taka going to be how it's going to work, that everybody's going to have to bring a carbon chatos for the Aveiras that they did. But either way, the principle is there that we can have a situation where an Aveira was done during Zman HaGolus, the correct way to solve it, we can't do nowadays, and therefore it'll be lots of love. So perhaps we can say the same thing concerning the Ari Miklot. Since there was Ritzich HaBashayeg nowadays, Zman HaGolus, we still have Ritzich HaBashayeg. So true, there is no Ari Miklot. True, nowadays there is no Ari Miklot. But lots of love, when there is Ari Miklot, the Ritzeach, the person who killed Bashayeg, will then have to run to the Ari Miklot. So that perhaps can answer the question as a very simple answer. What are the Ari Miklot for? It's not for the Ritzich HaBashayeg, it's not for the murder that will happen. Lots of love, it's the murder that has happened in the past, that we will then run, the person will then run to the Ari Miklot, Lasid Lavoy. And I thought to myself that would also answer the question of Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch asks, why only three? We should need many more, since Eretz Yisrael is going to be very large. The entire world is going to be Eretz Yisrael. Again, that answers the question. Because the din is that the king has to first conquer all of Eretz Yisrael, then conquer Eretz Keni, Knesim, Kamoini, and only afterwards may he conquer the rest of the world. So the early, right away when Mashiach comes, he's going to first, as I said, aside Ari Miklot, and only afterwards go and extend Eretz Yisrael to the whole world. So if we're only worried about the Roitzchim, the murderers, B'shoigeg, of the time of Golus, so then it shouldn't be a problem, because they'll be able to go to those Ari Miklot, and they won't have to, we don't have to be worried about any new Ritzich and Asi Lavi.
They could go to the original ones.
Huh?
Why do you need another three then? Because we probably have that part back.
That's right. Could be that will come right away. That will be immediately as Mashiach comes. Or when he conquers, when he takes us back out to Israel, he'll automatically take us back to all 10 parts. But the extra rest of the world will only. So some people will be over there. And they'll have to have a close by an army clock.
Yeah, but all of the you need to protect him against the Goethe.
Okay, very good. That question remains. What about the Goethe Dam? So I'll just say 2 points, perhaps. One is that. There is a sefri that says mitzvah b'yad goel adam, but the goel adam chasing the roteach is a mitzvah. Well, a mitzvah to kill, well, based in kill, well, at certain times this person is a roteach, he's killed, b'shoigeg. So if we say it's a mitzvah b'yad goel adam, if we say it's a mitzvah, then it's straightforward. Mitzvahs will do lots of love also, right? So that would answer the question. The Rambam learns, however, that it's roshus, paskin it's roshus, so according to him, the answer wouldn't work. So broadly, you could say that even if it's roshus, perhaps, we have a situation, for example, of Kanoi and Poigenboy, where somebody does a certain if somebody's boy in Aramis, so the din is Kanoi and Poigenboy. There's no mitzvah, it's not a chiyuv. It's sometimes called Roshus. So it could be that the pshat is also by goel adam. It's the same thing. It's not some sort of negative. It's not the yitzhahara which is telling him to chase. This perhaps will be an answer. It's not the yitzhahara which is telling him to chase a relative. The din of the goel adam is because the person killed, and the Torah said that and that deserves a certain chiyuv misa. And however, it's not placed on Beis Din to do it. It's not placed on kanoim to do it. It's placed on the goel adam. So if we learn like that in the Rambam, that would be an answer to that question. Otherwise, if that's correct, that question remains. Unless and the truth is all of the answers, it's missing a little bit for that question. Because even if we say the early tkufa l'asid lavoi, I understand the early tkufa l'asid lavoi, it may still be natural, accidents may happen, but kin of a takros, that the Rambam says clearly, and that's a chayr straightforward. Even the Rambam, who's talking about a natural world, he says, none of the bad middos. So seemingly, that question would remain according to all answers. We'd have to say something along these lines, that it's a mitzvah, it's supposed to be that way, and that's something that could be l'asid lavoi as well.
Can I ask about the Kohen Gadol?
Kohen
Gadol.
Yeah.
The whole mitzvah of Klita applies only at the time when the Kohen Gadol is worked.
Oh, that's a good question.
What happens if he never dies?
That's right, there won't be Moshe Kohen Gadol, so Mela perhaps will have to stay in Aramik Lo'ilam. Yeah, I did see the question touched on, but I don't remember. It's a good question, yeah. That is a good question. I'll finish off with... I'll finish off. We discussed these with two small, there's a short amount of time. I'll say two short points from the parasha. One interesting question that I've seen, which relates a little bit to what we're discussing. What could fit into this time? We're discussing lots of love and how things will be miraculous. One of the miracles, and even if you say like the Rambam Oleg Ben Ogenoeg, that maybe that's only an earlier stage, but at a later stage, there will be, at least according to the Shalom and a number of Mepharshim, there will be a miraculous Anoga, etc. We all know Chiz Mason. Chiz Mason is one of the, Rambam counts as one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim. And Tchias HaMesim is obviously not natural. Yeah, it's obviously breaking the rules of nature. So Mela, that's one of the points that's a higher push, that even though the Rambam says, it must be at some point, there will be miracles. So one of the miracles, the Gemara says, the Ksubas is that Asidim Elion is structure, Titano Paris. The fruits are going to give out fruit. The trees, the barren trees, the Elion is struck, trees that don't grow fruit, are going to give out fruit. So Mela, I saw somebody asking a question. I saw a question that we all know it's a possibility in this week's parasha, that's why I'm mentioning it. It's Sashas Eitzah. It's forbidden to cut down a fruit tree. With all its rules and regulations, it's forbidden to cut down a fruit tree. But the tree that does not give out fruit is Mutter. The question is, if Lassilov Asidim Elion is struck, Titano Paris, if all the barren trees are going to give out fruit, so all the fruit are fruit trees. True, they're not giving up pears now. True, they're not giving up pears now. But the din is you can't cut down a fruit tree even in the winter when it's not giving fruit. And similarly, when it's a young, when it's a yalda. Right, so that's, so you're suggesting it's not normal, fine. That would perhaps be a suggestion. There is a radvaz that says, in other words, support the question, because with what you're not saying, it's not normal. There is a radvaz, he also asks questions on the Rambam. The Rambam says, the Ravid says, well, the Pasuk says, Shabbati Chai Rom and Aretz. The Pasuk says there won't be any wild animals, that's not Oilik Ben Ogenoyek. And the Kesef Mishnah says, I don't understand the question. It's also Moshul. The Radvaz says, when the Rambam says, Oilim Kenoge Noyeg, it doesn't mean the Minig of now. It means the Minig of the way it is. It includes the Minig of the way it is before the Chedei Tzedas. That's also Oilim. That's the world that's been Hogoi. That's the way Hashem created the world. And stands, it's not the simple Pshat. That's the way the Radvaz understands the Shits of Rambam. True, the Rambam says that Oilim Kenoge Noyeg, but that includes the original Minig. And that original Minig is, and the Radvaz says, that's how Asidim Iloni struck in Paris, they're going to get fruit, because that's the way it used to be, that all the trees used to get fruit. So according to that, it's not so easy to say, it's different. But it's still good. Right now, they're not giving fruit, but tomorrow they might start. They tell you, winter and summer. Oh, so you're now out of the context. That's a question. Seemingly, it's a fruit tree. But I agree that it's not a question, because that's the name of the Torah. In other words, the Torah says only a fruit tree. Evidently, if all trees are going to get fruit, that's fine. Evidently, the Torah meant the trees nowadays don't get fruit. So it could be all trees are going to turn into a fruit tree. It could be in the winter you can't come down. Evidently, that's what it meant. I'll just finish off. The parasha begins, Shoeftim Shoeftim, Tidum Chav Hol Shorecho. And in the Haftorah, we say, Vashiv Shoftayich, Kvar Shoeno, Yoyetzayich, Matchilu, we mention every day in Davening, Vashiv Shoftayinu, Kvar Shoeno. We say, what happened to the Shoeftim? What happened to the police? Mitzvah is Shoeftim Shoeftim. There's going to be police, there's going to be Shoeftim judges to tell us what to do. And Shoeftim are ready to stand to make sure to enforce it. Whereas what happened? Last year, we say, Hashem is going to return the Shoeftayich, Yoyetzayich, but there won't be any Shoeftim. So, the Pshat is, based as we discussed, that Last year, Shuach Tumah Av Menorah. There won't be any negative. Yad Arobika Merkel. There won't be any bad. There won't be any bad. So Mela, there won't be any Tahara. We said there won't be any Averus. So there won't be any need for Shoitrim. So Mela, all we're going to be left with the Shiva Shavtenik, where Rishayna may happen. Mehir Yemeno.
The very first thing was with fruit, and we're going to end up. The Gemara Sanhedrin says the biggest sign Mashiach is coming is the fruit.